Global a través de la cooperación regional entre los países anglófonos de América del Norte con las regiones de habla hispana.
English and Spanish speaking nations in the Caribbean and in the Americas. We're going to be talking about ethics and equality as components of collaboration in global health. We are pleased to introduce our speakers very quickly. I will read their CV. They have a lot of experience, so I will only address the most relevant aspects of their CVs. First, we have Dr. Jack Bryan. He comes from the University of Columbia. He did important work with the Rockefeller Foundation in 1960. He taught health and the developing world in 22 different countries. He was dean of the public health school at Columbia for 7 years, undersecretary for international health for the Jimmy Carter administration, representative of the U.S. government in the International Conference on Primary Health Conference, and he worked in the Executive Council for the World Health Organization. He was a community health science program. He was in Pakistan for 10 years. Today he works as a faculty member at three universities, Johns Hopkins, Virginia, and in the Great Lake Kimusu University in Kenya. Today he is mainly interested in the development problems of children in Africa. Let's welcome him. Thanks, doctor. And if I may, I will introduce other we also have Juan Eduardo Guerrero, surgeon from Columbia University, Columbia Valley University, public health. He studied in Antioquia. He studied social sciences and political sciences. He works with the Pan American Health Organization. He is a consultant for health services in Ecuador, Guatemala, Argentina, Brazil, El Salvador, representative of the World Health Organization and PAHO in El Salvador, and recently he has worked in social determinants of health, local health and development, and today with the Health Leaders International Program. A round of applause, would you please? And we also have Dr. Giorgio Solimano. He is the current director of the Public Health Program at the Chile University. He has diploma programs in social medicine. His field of interest has been child nutrition, health policies. He has written many works and publications. Health in Latin America, the reform for one, reform for everyone, policies and meals in Latin America. He is a professor at the Chile University, and he was chairman of the Latin American Association of Public Health Schools from the year 2000 to the year 2006. Thank you very much, and let's give him a round of applause. We will now start our panel, and I would like to tell the panel members that they have only 20 minutes for the presentation, so that we have time for questions for the presentations and to have some time for questions and answers. 20 minutes. Thanks, Dr. Jack.
This opportunity to talk about global health in changing world, places for equity and ethics.
Sí.
sorry. Anyway, I just wanted to introduce you to a book. I'll mention it very briefly, Global Health Leadership and Management. And the authors listed there are Niels Dallaire, Robert Black, Clarence Pearson, and William Fagey. And one of the major points that they're making is that what we can and must do to manage the looming public health crisis around the world is precisely the subject of this book, and a lot of that management capability is not there. And now, we're going to talk now about the formulation of a global ethic and considering how to bring ethics into the arena of global health. My memory carries me back to Professor Hans Kuhn in Tübingen, Germany, this widely known scholar. I have one of the books he wrote, 900 pages, Christianity, Essence, History, and Future. And for the first time in the history of religion, the Council of the Parliament of the World's Religions, which met in Chicago in August 1993, and in which 6,500 people from every possible religion took part, they ventured to develop a declaration of a global ethic. And I've known Hans Kuhn for that time, and just to mention that he's a remarkable person, still alive and well and working, and I'll mention more of him later. And then the book that I have over there that he wrote about this story in 1993, he has a preface, and I will just take words from the preface to give you an idea of what the importance of this subject is. There is no doubting the importance of a world ethic. That means a fundamental consensus concerning binding values, irrevocable standards, and personal attitudes. There can be no better global order without a global ethic. A global ethic does not seek to replace the high ethics of the individual religions with an ethical minimalism. The Torah of the Jews, the Christian Sermon on the Mount, the Muslim's Quran, the Hindu's Bhagavad Gita, the discourses of the Buddha, the sayings of Confucius. For hundreds and millions of men and women, all these remain the foundation for faith and life, thought and action. What then? A global ethic seeks to work out what is already common to the religions of the world. Now, despite all their differences over human conduct, moral values, and basic moral convictions. This declaration now forms that basis for an extensive process of discussion, which we hope will be sparked off in all religions. And if all goes well, in the not-too-distant future, we shall have other declarations which make the global ethic of the religions more precise and concrete, and further illustrations of it. Our document here has been written and approved in the hope that similar change of awareness may take place over a basic ethic common to all humankind, a global ethic. Now, this inspirational work of Hans Kuhn and the Parliament of the World's Religions focuses on a global ethic. Health is not mentioned, and this may trouble you some. Nor are many other aspects of development, such as education. What we're seeing here are multiple factors that are essential features of societal development. Justice and peace, respect for life and dignity, truthfulness and compassion and nonviolence. And what I would urge you to do here is broaden your perspective of what is global to include this as part of global ethic. These issues are truly of global importance. They can contribute in important ways to human well-being, and we can consider how they might connect with the process of health development, even though they might not be based on traditional health sciences-related methodologies. So let us proceed with the writings that emerged from the Parliament of the World's Religions and Hans Kuhn's formulation of the global ethic. We can observe the social, cultural, religious, behavioral factors that are presented as essential components of a global ethic. And while health is not mentioned, we can ask ourselves about the fundamental importance of the factors they are emphasizing in the larger context of healthcare and health system development. We can also ask ourselves to what extent will the factors we see as essential for health development contribute to their concept of a global ethic. So it is up to the religions of this earth and to people all over the world in a quite practical way, wherever they are, to make sure that this declaration remains more than paper, that it is filled with life, that it inspires people to a life of mutual respect. Here, then, is a global ethic, the declaration of the Parliament of the World's Religions. So here we see it in its one-page form, edited by Hans Kung and Carl Josef Kuschel, his colleague in Tübingen. And then, so importantly, here are the religions that were represented at that meeting in 1993, all of which favored and supported this global ethic as it came forth. Amounting to 6,500 persons attending that parliament. So I think this is a very important point, that we're looking at something called a global ethic that cut across all these religions and more that weren't represented in those, all those people. Now, this introduction, flowing from the following introduction, was produced by the editorial committee of the Council of the Parliament of the World's Religions on the basis of the declaration composed in Tübingen. It was meant as a brief summary of the declaration and was read out publicly at the solemn concluding plenary. A number of passages were greeted with spontaneous applause by the audience of thousands. So here's what it says. This is what was produced on the screen for everyone to see. We condemn the abuses of Earth's ecosystems. We condemn the poverty that stifles life potential, the hunger that weakens the human body, the economic disparities that threaten so many families with ruin. We condemn the social disarray of the nations, the disregard for justice which pushes citizens to the margin, the anarchy overtaking our communities, and the insane death of children from violence. But this agony need not be. It need not be because the basis for an ethic already exists. This ethic offers the possibility of a better individual and global order and leads individuals away from despair and societies away from chaos. We affirm that a common set of core values is found in the teachings of the religions and that these form the basis of a global ethic. We declare we are interdependent. Each of us depends on the well-being of the whole. And so we have respect for the community of living beings, for people, animals, and plants, and for the preservation of earth, the air, water, and soil. We take individual responsibility for all we do. All our decisions, actions, and failures have consequences. We must treat others as we wish others to treat us. We make a commitment to respect life and dignity, individuality and diversity, so that every person is treated humanely without exception. We consider humankind our family. We must strive to be kind and generous. We must not live for ourselves alone, but should also serve others, never forgetting the children, the aged, the poor, the suffering, the disabled, the refugees, and the lonely. No person should ever be considered or treated as a second-class citizen or ever be exploited in any way whatsoever. We must commit ourselves to a culture of nonviolence, respect, justice, and peace. We shall not oppress, injure, torture, or kill other human beings, forsaking violence as a means of settling differences. We must strive for a just social and economic order in which everyone has an equal chance to reach full potential as a human being. We must speak and act truthfully and with compassion, dealing fairly with all and avoiding prejudice and hatred. Earth cannot be changed for the better unless consciousness of individuals is changed first. We pledge to increase our awareness by disciplining our minds, by meditation, by prayer, or by positive thinking. Without risk and a readiness to sacrifice, there can be no fundamental change in our situation. Therefore, we commit ourselves to this global ethic, to understanding one another, and to socially beneficial peace-fostering and nature-friendly ways of life. We invite all people, whether religious or not, to do the same. And now we go on to the beginning of the written version coming out of Tübingen. And just to repeat that because it carries some ideas further. Now we come to the beginning of the written version of Tübingen in collaboration with the Council of the Parliament of World Religions. Our world is experiencing a fundamental crisis, a crisis in global economy, global ecology, and global politics. Hundreds of millions of human beings on our planet increasingly suffer from unemployment, poverty, hunger, and the destruction of their families. It is increasingly difficult to live together peacefully in our cities because of social, racial, and ethnic conflicts, the abuse of drugs, organized crime, and even anarchy, and even neighbors often live in fear of one another. We condemn these blights and declare they need not be. An ethic already exists within the religious teachings of our world, which can counter the global distress. Of course, this ethic provides no direct solution for all the immense problems of the world, but it does supply the moral foundation for a better individual and global order. We are persons who have committed ourselves to the precepts and practices of the world's religions. Our different religious and cultural traditions must not prevent our common involvement in opposing all forms of inhumanity and working for greater humaneness. We confirm that there is already a consensus among the religions which can be the basis for a global ethic, a minimal fundamental consensus concerning binding values, irrevocable standards, and fundamental moral attitudes. And now we come, as we move toward the end, no new global order without a new global ethic. We, women and men of various religions and regions of the earth, therefore address all people, religious and non-religious. We wish to express the following convictions, which we hold in common. We all have a responsibility for a better global order. Our involvement for the sake of human rights, freedom, justice, peace, and the preservation of earth is absolutely essential, absolutely necessary. As religious and spiritual persons, we base our lives on an ultimate reality and draw spiritual power and hope, the reform therefrom, and in trust, in prayer, or meditation, in word or silence. We have a special responsibility for the welfare of all humanity and care for the planet Earth. A vision rests on hopes, goals, ideals, standards, but all over the world, these have slipped from our hands, yet we are convinced that despite their frequent abuses and failures, it is the communities of faith who bear a responsibility to demonstrate that such hopes, ideals, and standards can be guarded, grounded, and lived. On the basis of personal experiences and the burdensome history of our planet, we have learned that a better global order cannot be created, enforced by laws, prescriptions, and conventions alone. That the realization of peace, justice, and the protection of earth depends on the insight and readiness of men and women to act justly. That rights without morality cannot long endure. There will be no better global order without a global ethic. By a global ethic, we mean a fundamental consensus on binding values, irrevocable standards, and personal attitudes. Without such a fundamental consensus on an ethic, sooner or later, every community will be threatened by chaos or dictatorships, and individuals will despair. Two, a fundamental demand. Every human being must be treated humanely. Now as before, women and men are treated inhumanely all over the world. They are robbed of their opportunities and their freedom, and their rights are trampled underfoot. Their dignity is disregarded. But might does not make right. In the face of all humanity, our religious and ethical convictions demand that every human being must be treated humanely. This means that every human being, without distinction of age, sex, race, skin color, physical or mental ability, language, religion, political view, or national or social origin, possesses an inalienable and untouchable dignity. There is a principle which is found and has persisted in many religions and ethical traditions of humankind for thousands of years. What you do not wish done to yourself, do not do to others. Or in positive terms, what you wish done to yourself, do to others. In conclusion, we appeal to all the inhabitants of this planet. Earth cannot be changed for the better unless the consciousness of individuals is changed. We pledge to work for such transformation in individual and collective consciousness, for the awakening of our spiritual powers through reflection, meditation, prayer, or positive thinking, for conversion of the heart. Together, we can move mountains. Therefore, we commit ourselves to a common global ethic, to better mutual understanding, as well as to socially beneficial, peace-fostering, and earth-friendly ways of life. We invite all men and women, whether religious or not, to do the same. Now, that ends at that point, and I now have just two further comments to make. Since that was in 1993, what has happened to Hans Kung and these ideas since? So I just have these two slides. 2005, Hans Kung and Pope Benedict XVI met for a friendly conversation, and the Pope's reflections were as follows. Global ethic, not some kind of abstract intellectual construction, but rather conceived to bring to light those moral values on which the great religions of the world tend to converge, despite all their differences. The Pope praised Professor Kung's efforts in dialogue with the religions of the world and with secular thinking to contribute to a renewed recognition of the essential moral values of mankind, the values underlying human life. And so this tells us where Hans Kung is with respect to the religions in general. And then I'll just mention that Anwar Velji and I had written a piece on global health ethics, define the emerging disciplines of global health ethics and its components, the role of religion in global health ethics, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And we enjoyed doing the writing, but I'll tell you, it did not come close to identifying the full range of values and important issues that are in that global ethic. Thank you very much.
Yes, questions are going to be asked or posed at the end of all the presentations. And if you have questions, would you please take note of it so that you do not forget it. Now we will give the floor to Eduardo Guerrero. He comes from the Pan American Health Organization, as I said, and he is going to be also talking about the topic that is the subject of this panel. I will try to see you. I would like to thank all the organizers of this Congress of Global Health, Alliances in Global Health, South-South Collaboration, and the first Latin American Caribbean Global Health Congress. I thank the PAHO, Pan American Health Organization, for giving us the opportunity to present our vision on this topic, which is ethics and equity. I would like to tell you that what I am about to present is a process under construction. We started from the International Leadership Program, and these are some of our insights or thoughts on which should be the ethical performance and behavior of our society, governments, state citizens, governors, in order to achieve our expected goals of health and development in public health, and consequently, the well-being. And we have asked ourselves many questions that I would like to convey to you so that you have open information, because we do not have all the responses. We have questions that we're going to keep on analyzing with all the participants of this international health program and with the different institutions we are involved with. The title of this presentation is it possible to reach an ethical performance in the way towards equity.
Desde que uno se lanza.
From the international perspective, since we are asking this question, is because we have a doubt, and this is because in the world there is a very important trend towards corruption, non-transparency. There is a trend towards undue acts, and there is a trend also towards actions that would affect population, people, and societies whenever incorrect decisions are made at the government level and at the family levels. Consequently, ethics is going to lead us to the following. We're going to have ethical dilemmas that we face every day. We need to have one way to translate those ethical disorders. We need to find a way to analyze them and then to build with their society an ethical conduct that is going to take us to this pathway to development and health. And consequently, each one of us and the different citizens in one or in a different way is building or destroying this pathway towards health. We are part of this process of this ethical construction of the pathway towards equity and health, and these are the questions that we would like to answer, and these are the questions we would like to ask you, and these are the questions that we would like to address in our future work. For many years, these philosophical and ethic related topics is trespassing the humanity. As Aristotle said, good is desirable when it is the interest of only one individual, but it is something even more beautiful when it is the interest of one people's and one whole state. And today we would say that whenever this is a point of interest of a global society, and I believe it is important to always think about it in our vision when analyzing our subject. We have read, and I read, and I know that ethics is a theory or the science of behavior of men. In society, we have one way of behaving. We have patterns which are going to be different in the different cultures. And consequently, we need to take into consideration that those cultural differences, ethnical and geographical differences, do not allow us to have a constructive dialogue for peace or for an improvement in health services and development. We have ethics, the defensive ethics to defend a territory, and on the other hand, it is the ethics that will give opportunities so that all territories can grow in a harmonious manner and to be able to produce development. Ethics is a discipline that is looking for universal reasons in order to adapt human conduct to the well-being of the universe, the society, and individuals. And it is based on these principles, the ethical basic principles. Respect for autonomy, the autonomy of human beings, freedom, consciousness, the capacity of decision-making, looking for not making evil. We need to never have incorrect or making correct actions. We should always try to have a mutual benefit, a benefit for lots of people, as we do when we want to bring health services, when we want to expand our coverages, we want to make good and social justice, which is going to be ultimately based on a distribution type of justice. We want to have justice so that people are all the same, and this is the fundamental principle that is moving all people who will somehow work in public and international health as global as well as in global health. We should not talk about ethics if we do not first understand, after the Second World War, the appearance and the international agreement of the countries of worlds in peace. We've been celebrating all these agreements for 60 years, and a very important base of ethical terms is included in the Declaration of Human Rights, and some of the future developments after that declaration, where human beings should be favored, should be protected, and there should be social justice in every case, regardless of the ethnic group. group, religion, beliefs, and culture. Human beings should always be respected according to this approach of human rights. We know there are first generation human rights, second generation human rights, third generation human rights. These last ones are included in the political constitutions, and these are the rights to a healthy environment and the right to be benefited by the solidarity of the community. Here we have richness of ethical conduct of the society that is always looking for well-being, it is always looking for peace, and it is also looking for inequalities, and it is looking to improve poverty, migration, hunger, and it should favor those people who are attacked, to benefit also those who are under bellic problems. All people have the right to have an adequate level in order to ensure to have health, well-being, and to have access to meals, housing, medical assistance, and social services. Article 25 of Human Rights. Health is a right that implies that the state has the duty to create necessary conditions so that the population can have health. It is important to have all this in mind because in the last 20 or 25 years we've seen models and health proposals that will somehow deny the right to health. They deny the possibility for people and for societies to have access to health systems and services. This is why it is very important to analyze what is happening to these different approaches of how models are built and how health coverage campaigns are implemented, how the state wants to bring services and how the state wants to protect and wants to make progress in the primary medical assistance, how more resources are given to health, to development, and to all the different actions related to social determinants. And there are ethical implications in the exercise of politics, because when a governor is an acting a budget or approving a budget, there is an ethical implication when the budget is distributed to know what is going to be favored in terms of development of the society. Here we have ethical decisions by the government and by the different players that will somehow participate and act in this need of distributing resources of the society. We are not going to say something if the governments, for example, face corruption, and what if governments will somehow distract those resources which are devoted to the society? What if there is an ethical performance, and this is a performance that is going to affect lots of people? So we need to have ethics observatories and transparency observatories to know what is happening in those societies, because those places are facing ethical deviations, and we would like to pay more attention to this type of problems. There is an ethical relativism, and this is very important when we discuss ethics and philosophy. We talk about the ethical relativism. And ethics can change according to the beliefs and according to the religions, and there are some common factors, and there are also some well-differentiated things. And this ethical relativism is going to lead us to think, what can we do? And the question we ask ourselves, isn't there only one morale? They are all different according to the times, which are the criteria that should guide the performance of individuals and the states. Do we want to have a global ethics? Do we want to have universal ethics? Do we want to have a partial or relative context ethics according to the society where we live? Where we are going to, in ethical terms, a global ethics, or is it a partialization of ethics according to cultures and according to some of the needs that are present in the different societies? The ethical agreement is to always benefit every act of human beings. This is the reason why human beings do right or wrong, which could be some of the ethical agreements for the health and for the development of human beings, and under this optic of global health. And I would like to talk about these reflections. These are the insights we have, and this is part of the educational model that we have for the International Health Program. From the International Health Optics, we are trying to analyze the topic of ethics. We want to see which are the expressions, which are the conflicts that will impact health and the quality of life of individuals. We also want to better understand equity and ethics as fundamental intervention principles for the society, and we also want to contribute to the construction of a civil and citizens' ethics and to have a global ethics. In this expression, I would like to shortly present a model we are working with our international health program, which is our working model, to know which are the different ways in which we analyze and in which we look for. Right in the center, we have health and equality as our goal, as our ultimate goal, the place we want to reach. And then we look for the interrelationships with the different forces that we call the driving forces. And we understand that the development and the different development models, the different constructions of development will have an influence on the results of health, equality, and justice. So we need to analyze how this relationship takes place between development and health, and which are the ethical acts and behaviors that we see in this discussion. In terms of development, in less than 25 years, we've seen the collapse of the Berlin Wall, we've seen the centralized planning collapse, and we also saw the most important financial crisis that we've seen in recent years, and this is placing the ethical performance of financial systems, and this is something that placed the world in a difficult situation because there were no specific rules in order to protect the population and to protect the society. So we've seen this collapse of the centralized planning, and we also saw the crisis. We also faced the crisis of the global financial system, and this is now then proposing the need to modify all this, and we need to have new financial rules in order to protect the society with thousands of people who are unemployed. So we need to analyze development models and the relationship with health. This is all very important, and we should always ask which are the tensions and which are the ethical conflicts that exist. We analyze the health and business relationship. I believe that those who are close to public health, we are also close to the research of this topic, the research of business and health. We also analyze international cooperation and diplomacy for health and how the international agencies move and the different global alliances move, because in one or in a different way they make a development proposal according to their vision, to their interests, and according to the results they want to achieve. From the perspective of those people who give resources, how this international cooperation and this health diplomacy generates or does not generate tensions in function of the development of health, because there are different trends. We know there is a need to reach cooperation for health and for development. And last but not least, we know that human rights are a very important source. And those who work with this model, we say that human rights are right in the center of health development, because this is where we need to make a synthesis, a summary of where we believe our societies should go to. This driving force analysis in relationship to health and equality will generate tensions, and we base these studies in our international program on the analysis of these conflicts and tensions that we see on a daily basis in our society. We daily see conflicts, and there are always dilemmas, and some of those are ethical dilemmas. Many of them are resolved in international relationships and with foreign policies. And consequently, in our case, from the public health and international health perspectives, we should be close to international agreements which are being signed in order to know if we are walking towards this ethics of development. We need to reach an international agreement. We should be able to protect the weakest. There is a need then to go deeper in all these topics. There are some considerations. The World Health Organization in 1996, and I will quickly review this information because I'm sure many of you already know it. From the ethical and bioethical perspective, there are some aspects which are not included in our international health model, but this is an example of some of the ethical problems. The development of health status, access, beneficiaries of medical research, how medical resources are allocated, these are medical questions. Immediate response to communicable diseases. We need to know how to properly safeguard common well-being. The influenza H1N1 pandemic, this is something that governors had to face in order to make adequate decisions, in order to be properly protected. There are dilemmas of the things you need to do and how you should do those things. International cooperation. Sanitary follow-up, international standards, emergencies. There are ethical dilemmas in the application, the exploitation of people, medical research, transplant tourism, ethical problems which are to be analyzed, the promotion of health, how the state is going to intervene in the type of meals produced, the chemical pollution that we normally see because of different reasons. There are ethical aspects which are to be resolved, production of those goods and services, whether required or not by the society, and participation, responsibility, and accountability, and transparency. This was indicated in 1996, and I believe we can make much more progress in terms of the ethical dilemmas we need to resolve. I would like to share this with you. This is part of the design with which we have worked. We live social, political, and financial, commercial, and environmental conflicts. And in all these conflicts, there is always a crisis, there is always tension. There are problems the society is discussing in relationship to the environment, to the financial crisis that affected and had an impact in the lives of lots of people, political conflicts that we see on a daily basis, and some of those expressions that we have placed. In other words, there is an expression in the conflict, there is an expression of the illegal business, there is an expression of hunger, drug dealing, the expression of treeless forests, the expression of unclean production that is affecting the society and the climate change. Those daily conflicts we face also have ethical dilemmas that we need to study. And there are different players, and in all ethical challenges there are players, stakeholders, stakeholders and players need to negotiate, and they need to find a way to resolve those ethical challenges because we want to improve the operation of our societies. This is an example of the ethical dimensions. When we study this, we see that there are different disciplines which are taking care of these ethical aspects, the environmental ethics. It is not including the human beings only, and it is included the globe, the total globe, living beings, and there is synergy of the planet and the globe, and here living beings are subject to ethics and they are subject to rights. They've made progress. The ethics of economy. Amartya Sen has taught an ethics based on opportunities, based on the generation of skills and capabilities for the very poor populations. So each one of these different aspects, and I do not want to take longer, But we always want to have ethical elements for each one of the different conflicts. Ethics of international relationships, respect to diversity, the capacity to stand others so that they can grow, so that they can improve their development, not in terms of controlling, but we want to support and meet the needs of all these populations. And at the end, when you analyze the different ethical elements that I have presented, there are principles and values that will be positive, that will prevail. Humanity is valuable in itself. Dignity is very important. We need to rescue dignity. We need to have autonomy, responsibility, dignity. Equality is not natural. We need to build it, and we need to do something in order to redistribute it. And here we also have the ethical conduct of the society. Societies in conflict, societies in crisis, with political problems, with poverty levels, with repression, and with social differences. And those societies with conflicts are the most vulnerable societies, and these are the societies we need to be close to in order to protect those societies that face a conflict but will also reach more inequality. They are not making any progress. The opposite is going to happen, which is to have a negative phenomenon. Equity, consequently, in public health is the design and the application of measures for surveillance and the health of populations. It goes beyond the sanitary or health. We need to improve conditions in order to promote the development of healthy societies, and ethics will always favor and will lead us to perfection. I will skip all these slides because I am running out of time. I would like to present this, the analysis of the societies in conflict, and the differences because of gender, the differences in religion, occupation, income, diseases, and the development of policies, the development of capacity, and the elimination of participation barriers, because this interpretation is going to lead us to an ethical performance of how we're going to face problems in societies with crisis, with conflicts, which are those societies that we should be able to better protect in our daily endeavors. This understanding is going to lead us to three aspects: the effort towards having civil ethics and citizens' ethics that should be shared by everyone, regardless of the location. It implies an agreement on the minimum things in order to live in the society in a human and dignified manner. We need to have the possibility to grow, and if we do not have civil ethics, we're going to be facing a terrible threat for the community. I will end by sharing this quote: a fragile or brittle state is a state where there is no capacity to meet the needs of the population. All, we should be able to give resources in order to counteract poverty, the most important ethical dilemma of the society. For many, many centuries has always been to reduce poverty and to reduce differences, and this is where we should base our ethical performance for the years to come. Thank you very much. Thanks, Dr. Guerrero. Now, Dr. Giorgio, director from Chile, would you please take note of your questions so that, because we are going to have our questions at the end of this session. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, you all. I believe, first with Dr. Bryant, we had the foundation of the principles of ethics. Then with Dr. Guerrero, we were able to see how the international perspective can help us, and me as a person from Chile, and as an expert and as a health expert from my region, I would like to share with you our experience in the Latin American region and the importance of ethics and the importance of equity, equality in our endeavors, in our daily actions. I will first read a text that is going to be endorsed, but it will not be endorsed by a PowerPoint illustration. But we're going to also have another presentation where we're going to see the most important elements. I would like to thank Mexican people at the National Institute of Public Health for organizing this event, and I also thank the Chile University for inviting me to participate in this second plenary session. We're going to be addressing two subjects which are in global health, ethics and equality. I would like to... It's very important to have this discussion this first day of the Congress because I know that it is not possible to reach development and collaboration for global health if we do not share ethics and equality. This applies to the South-South collaboration, which is one of the main topics we're going to be addressing in this Congress. And here, when we also talk about North-South collaboration, we've seen differences with respect to the traditional ethics, and this is mainly based on the exercise of individualism, and there is also a bigger concern for cost efficiency, not only looking for equity and solidarity in the field of health. These are some of the differences I will be making reference to later. Despite of the fact that in recent years, academicians from Canada and from the United States, despite of the fact that they have studied the social determinants of health and inequity that prevails in some of these fields, and here we have representatives of these thoughts, currents of thought. I will start by presenting the history of the progress of our school towards global health, and I will be making the difference between four periods. The first one from 1943 to 1973, when the first public health school was founded in 1943 by Rockefeller. Then as of 1950, there has been a gestation process and the development process of the National Health Service in Chile. And then the School of Public Health, once it was founded, it contributed with the education of health experts, and it was an interest shared by other countries. This is where we started to see some South-South collaboration signs. Then it was during the 60s when there were control of fertility programs with an international financing, fertility control programs. It was a North-South collaboration. There in 1970 to 1973, a physician and legislator became the president of a country, Dr. Salvador Allende. We honor him last January, and now the name of the public health school is Salvador Allende. This was weakening for the North-South collaboration, but other progressist groups started to work, both in the North as well as in the South, and many of us were benefited by this solidarity that we were given by these more developed countries, and in my specific case, I was benefited by the United States. Then we have 1973 to 1990, the military dictatorship, the weakening of the public health, and the international isolation brought by the military regime. Exilium of Health Experts and International Solidarity, North-South and South-South Collaboration Approaches on Shared Ethics, and always talking about the defense of human rights. Then the early joining of Chile into neoliberal economic trends imposed by the military. Then the sustainable economic growth together with an increase in social inequality and health marketing. Then during the third period, 1990 to the year 2003. In 1990, it is when the transition towards democracy started. The president was elected. It is the beginning of transition towards democracy and the returning of many experts on health that were in the exile. Then in 1999, there is a recovery and modernization process of the public health school. It was based on strategic development plans. It was a collaborative effort. Then international links were promoted and collaboration projects, and we are very thankful for all those projects, and we are part of all these projects. And then in the year 2006, I was the chair. In the 2006, I was a president for Alliance in this same period, strengthening and the renewal of the academic body, the creation of the PH program, and the creation of the International Summer School that is taught annually. This is an alliance with academic institutions from abroad and the active participation of the Pan American Organization of Health, with which we have a very close relationship, and there is an emphasis on topics such as ethics and equality in health. As of the fourth period, as of the year 2003 up to now, the year 2003, this is when we created the coordination of international relationships in our school. This was an effort to consolidate cooperation in the region and in order to have access to centers of excellence. In the year 2005, in Chile, the Commission for Social Determinants by the World Health Organization was started. This was a very important project, and there are different countries, and of course Chile is still participating. In the year 2008, the school was included in the Trade and Health Forum of the American Association of Public Health, and there are courses on the effects of the economic globalization on public health. In April 2009, in our school, we created a global health program, and this year we are doing a diploma course on global health. As you can see, almost 40 years of backwardness and progress. These situations lead us to and make us be even more developed, and there are other very difficult situations. Of course, there is no doubt about it. This short description of our progress towards global health shows that the fight for more equality, equity in health, and safeguarding public health, these are the two main components of our development. And how we have seen these components in our duties, and this is exactly what I am about to present. In Chile, for example, the global health work has taken place in a complex and challenging situation. As of the 70s, for example, Chile opened to this economic globalization process and to the free market, with always applying all principles of the neoliberalism doctrine. This period was characterized by the weakening of the regulating state, and even more as a social protecting agent. In this context, health as well as education as well as social security became merchandise or goods subject to the market rules, and the serious consequence was social inequality in general terms and a negative effect in health. This is an example of the earthquake. Some of the democratic governments, March the 11th, this is when the fourth government of Consultation for Democracy took place, and then a new government from the right center in our country came to the administration. We're talking about the concentration of left central winds, and we've seen important changes in favor of social protection, but this stamp of the system that I just made reference to is still present in the Chile society. A dramatic example of this can be seen in the consequences of last February's earthquake, because housing, hospitals, schools, and micro companies that collapsed are were seriously damaged. This is all affecting families and lower income communities. Another topic: access to medications or drugs or medications. This is another good example of inequality in public health. Here we have very clear global determinants, policies and standards for patent protection and the profitability of the large transnational pharmaceutical companies. And here we have an evidence of this. The HIV program in Chile is allocating most of its resources to the acquisition and distribution of the retroviral treatment and to pay to medical staff and paramedical staff to do monitoring activities. Unfortunately, prevention and advice programs are not benefited as this first program, and this is because of the very high prices of the patented drugs and the lack of access to generic drugs. This is because of the limitations imposed by the patent system Chile is subscribed to. This is a very clear global problem, and this problem should be faced globally. But not only that, it should also be faced from an ethical perspective. It is related to the right of people, and it is also we need to have access to medications, and we should have access. We should be able to improve health. Another example of this is the research of global health. And to me, it is research in public health, and this is something we've done for many, many years, but we need to have a transnational perspective. In other words, we need to look for determinants and we need to look for solutions to health priority problems in the global context. Historically, schools and public health institutes, Latin American ones, have acted and have hosted research projects, and many of those research programs are generated by universities and first world institutes. And we need to recognize, of course, what is the very valuable contribution and the collaboration of European and North American colleagues to our scientific progress. And we should also subject all these links to a very severe screening from an ethical perspective and from the equity perspective. On this, Saul Franco, he is a well-known Colombian health expert, in an article titled Ethics of Research in Public Health, talks about the role that we play or the role we could play in research in our countries. And he's talking about two very important questions. Are we active subjects or potential implementators of some of the serious techniques or techniques? The second question is, are we subjects of the achievements achieved, or are we subjects of experiments less expensive than some lab mice? There's no doubt that we should allow South-South collaboration. We should not have this type of questions. We should never ask this type of questions. We should always have our shared sound. Attitudes. I am sure that in this type of situations, with our different characteristics and with the different magnitudes, we need to see this in other countries. We should see we need to see, we have a responsibility to comprehensively approach this in the context of global health. I will now analyze this topic of ethics. Ethics, as I said at the beginning, represents the second most important component for the development of global health. This discipline was developed within the clinical and experimental medicine context, but as years have elapsed, it is becoming bigger and bigger, and we now have ethics of public health. It is now becoming a very sound base, conceptual base for Latin America. Here we have the contribution of people from Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and from different countries. And in recent years, it has strengthened the Latin American bioethics, and we now have characteristics that will clearly differentiate from the American bioethics. In our school, we teach a bioethics course, a mandatory bioethics course. We also teach seminars, and we are starting to see dissertations or thesis work on these fields. We are starting to see this. However, this is not sufficient nationally as well as regionally. We do not have a basic curricula, and we need to find different ways to work with the different countries. And talking about the scopes of the Latin American ethics, the comparison on Ibero-American bioethics, a book by Jennifer Volcock. This book talks about four main characteristics that will differentiate the Latin American ethics from the American ethics. First, in the case of the Latin American, Latin American ethics, is it a community-based ethics versus an individualistic ethics? Secondly, in the case of Latin American bioethics, is it a collective? It is a collective that is headed by theologists versus philosophers and academicians. Thirdly, in the case of the first one, it is a bioethics conceived as a social movement versus an institutionalized academic discipline with practical applications. And last but not least, the content of the Latin American ethics is directly related to the social history, to the economic history, cultural history, political and religious history, and the type of development of one specific region or country. As we can see, differences are not minor ones, and they are not excluding either, because our countries, depending on the problem, our countries need both. However, the Latin American perspective satisfies and meets and better matches the development of global health and the strengthening of the South-South cooperation, because it will benefit the achievement of health, and this is exactly the area where we need to strengthen our collaboration. In this context, I would like to conclude by making these specific proposals that I would like to work with. And it would be great to reach an agreement on this. First, we need to establish a Latin American organization in the area of global health so that we can have a regular, frequent collaboration and sustainable collaboration among academic institutions who are devoted to this topic in our region. Secondly, the development of global health in Latin America and in the Caribbean it should include a reflection process, and it should also include a research process. We need to have the historical rescue of the Latin American thought on the ethics of public health and equality, and we should also take into consideration the new analysis of our reality, which is constantly evolving. And at the end, we should be able to have a Latin American corpus of knowledge on global health. And thirdly, we need to promote the development of a curricular model and subject model in order to teach global health based on equity, ethics from the Latin American perspective, and we should always use the methodologies brought by the modern information technology. Thank you all for being so patient. Thanks for these brilliant presentations. We saw the beginning, the basic values, the principles, how to reach global health, ethics and equality, the international model, a very important and a very interesting working model, and to have the local and specific vision of Chile, how Chile has made progress, how with the backwardness they've been able to make even more progress. We congratulate our panel members, and we're going to have limited number of questions, but we would like to have some questions. We would like you to ask some questions, and we would like our panel members to be able to answer your questions. Muchas gracias. Yo vengo de la Universidad Johns Hopkins. Muchas gracias por las presentaciones. A mí me gustaría presionar un poquito a los panelistas.
What I would like to hear a little bit more is about how global health collaborations can institutionalize these principles in their work. What sorts of mechanisms are there to make the programs that are conducted by these global health collaborations more ethical and more equitable? And in particular, my interest is what sorts of benchmarks or indicators should be used by such collaborations to hold themselves accountable? So I'd appreciate a little bit more specificity in the response. Thank you very much.
Gracias. ¿Tú? ¿Quién quiere contestar? No. No, no hay otra, hay que contestar, por favor. Gracias, doctor Guerrero.
Muy rápidamente, yo pienso que...
I believe, in relationship to your question, we need to have academic networks, as we see here, and this is part of the proposal by Giorgio in his presentation. Academic networks and the collaboration centers, they have the responsibility to give incentives to study and to generate, to create observatories of ethics and health and the development, so that we can build, so that we have the possibility to measure the results of the political decisions, the decisions in the field of development and health, so that we can properly follow up the social players which are involved in this decision-making process. When talking about financing or not financing a specific problem that is affecting a specific group of communities, and secondly, how those financial resources that come by the different sectors, how those resources are utilized, if they actually get to the most needed communities. These are some of the ethical challenges we need to resolve so that we can make sure it is the communities, the ones benefited by these international donations, in order to achieve development.
Sí, concordando plenamente con los...
Yes. As Dr. Guerrero said, I believe we should not talk about health in an isolated manner. This is part of a phenomenon that we see in terms of how development takes place, how this is all addressed, and the role of social aspects In our case, in Chile, in the last 4 years, we had the opportunity. The priorities, for example, of the government, all this was based in social protection. And this is a network that goes beyond the field of health. It had to do with social security. It had to do with a very important endorsement, and it was endorsed by the development of the gender, specifically women's protection, education on this, as well as local development, because many times we forget how important integral local development is in our responsibilities in this, in the field. So thank you for asking that question, because academic institutions, we are not part of the power, so we can only help, we can only assist, and we are, upon request, of course, we can contribute with our new knowledge, we can contribute to the education of human resources, and we can bring very valuable field experience so that we can then help to the creation of public policies, which is the responsibility of the government.
I'll respond very briefly to Dr. Adnan's question. I think the way the agencies now, such as GHEC, the Global Health Educational Consortium, and the CUGH, the Collaborative Universities in Global Health, are looking for a collaboration that's now underway, and that represents a new opportunity with both sides bringing questions in, and then you're being sort of on the outside coming to the inside and asking those questions. And the other thing is that with your own professional background globally of looking after ethical and equity issues relating to road traffic accidents and so on, to get that on their agenda and work on it together. Thank you.
Muchas gracias. Una pregunta más.
We have time for only one more question.
Una pregunta.
From Creighton University in Omaha. For Dr. Jack Bryant, you mentioned a chapter that you and Anjar Belgi have published, but I didn't catch where that is available. There's a chapter in a book that Anjar Belli and yourself on global health ethics.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing him.
Sorry. A chapter in a book. Where is it?
He's speaking English. I just can't. Please say it again.
You mentioned a chapter in a book that you and Anjar Belli published, but it wasn't clear where that is available.
Anjar, are you here?
I hope you can hear me now without a microphone. Yeah, this was in Global Health and Medicine. And Markel is the first editor, William Markel. And if you want further information, please drop me an email. Thank you.
Bueno, muchísimas gracias. Damos.
Thank you all. We are now closing our panel, and we would like to give the certificates, tokens of recognition to our panel members, and our panel members will stay here for during the rest of the event. Dr. Brian, thank you very much. Dr. Guerrero, thank you very much. And Dr. Georgia, thank you very much. And thank you all for being with us. Let's go.